The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Well, good morning, everyone. You made it. It's Friday, August the 14th. Glad to have you along on this Friday edition of TalkBack. I am Peter Christian. Mr. Nick Christensen is right across the way. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we are delighted to have with us, we have City Talk going on today, and we've got two great guests joining us. Ashley Brittner-Wells is here, and we're also talking with Paige Trendell. So welcome to both of you. Welcome back to you, Ashley.
Welcome. Thanks. Good to see you.
You're right. So first of all, let's talk about who you are and what you do, if you don't mind. So we'll start with you, Ashley.
Yeah, thanks. I'm Ashley. I'm the community experience specialist at Parks. So I do a lot of community events and community engagement. I help with master planning at the city, just getting out and chatting with folks and listening to what they have concerns about. So thanks for having us back.
That sounds like a really fun job, actually.
It is really fun. You never know what you're going to talk to somebody about. And we get some really good ideas from folks and have gotten to meet a lot of new people through this job and through my work at the city. So it feels really good to get out and talk to the community.
Well, Paige, welcome. Welcome to TalkBack.
Hi.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Paige, if you would.
All right. I work over at the Fort Missoula Regional Park, and I'm the recreation facility supervisor, and then for the past 2 years, I've been the Montana Senior Olympics Games Director.
All right. So we're here for a very special reason. We got lots of stuff going on as we are transitioning now. Believe it or not, summer's not going to last forever. We're going to transition into fall. So tell us what's going on. I know one of the things we want to talk about this Montana Senior Olympics, but we can build up to that if you'd like to. So tell us what's going on with Parks and Rec right now.
Well, one thing we just did is release our fall recreation guide, and we have all ages programming. Our website is missoulaparks.org, but the fall rec guide really covers all that we have to offer program-wise this fall. So all ages, like I said, after-school programs, schools out camps, swim lessons. We have a lot of adult programming, which Paige knows a lot about as well. And active adult programming, so, you know, folks that are 55 plus. And yeah, you could come down, Peter, and hang out. But we do things, you know, in the fall, like grass and sand volleyball, tai chi. We have new middle school clubs that are really cool and exciting. Mm-hmm. Last year, one of the middle school clubs made a short film that was very hilarious and scary and fun and, cool. You know, skills that I don't have. But
how does the general public get to see that?
The video?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. We saw it in a staff meeting one day, and it was kind of a treat. We should ask them to submit it to some local
film festivals.
Well, yeah.
What you should do is contact the television news stations and say, hey, this is something you might want to put on screen.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
And that's just one example of some of the middle school programs, after school programs that are available. But, you know, we try to provide as much as we can programs for all ages, encompassing activities, you know, that can really take you through your whole life, your whole journey. And so there's a lot of different things in here, fall soccer, different swimming, you know, at any age you are, if you don't know how to swim, we can help you with that. And much, much more. And so, of course, Montana Senior Olympics is a big part of our fall.
Right.
But that's not the only piece.
Okay, well, tell you what, we are coming up against a break here. And I just want everybody to know the phone lines are open. Paige and Ashley are here to answer your questions. If you have questions about what's going on with the Parks Department or the specific programs, we encourage you to pick up the phone, give us a call. That's what TalkBack's all about, getting you folks engaged with the guests that are kind enough to come into our studio. So if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Ashley Brittner-Wells joining us, a community experience specialist, and Paige Trendell, the recreation facilities supervisor and Montana Senior Olympics Games director. Whew, that's a big business card. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Dust collect.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather. Showers and a possible thunderstorm before 2 p.m. today. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Showers likely and possible thunderstorms could continue into the evening. Patchy smoke at times as well, with highs ranging 70 to 75. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in those thunderstorms. A 30% chance of showers overnight. Lows in the 40s. Mostly sunny on Saturday. Mostly sunny Sunday with highs back in the 80s.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Friday, August 14th, rolling right along. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen, taking your phone call. City Talk underway right now. Ashley Brittner-Wells and Paige Trendell are joining us here this morning. And one of the things we want to talk about is we've got the Senior Olympics coming up, and you're the Senior Olympics Games Director. So let's talk about what's happening, and so invite people to take part.
All right. So the Montana Senior Olympics is held each year. The last six have been here in Missoula, and it's a games hosted where anyone over 50 can compete in a variety of different events. It includes bowling, badminton, cornhole, horseshoes, swimming, pickleball, and more. And all you have to do is know the rules and get out there and compete. And we have incredible athletes and people just getting started, and it's all a great community event.
And the whole idea is to have fun, right? Just everybody gets together, and it's a great chance to meet new people, especially when you're playing pickleball.
Yeah, absolutely. Pickleball, of course. Friendly, or maybe not so friendly. But yeah,
what do you mean competitive? Yeah, right.
It's just a great event for all seniors. There's people there trying something new that they never got the chance to try maybe before in their life. And then there's folks who have been competing in something for a really long time and trying to claim a spot at nationals and win some more hardware. And that's what the state games are for, is qualifying for nationals each year.
Fantastic. All right. So give us some history here about, I know pickleball's been around for, what, about 10 years now, something like that? Am I right, or is that?
Well, it's been truly around since the 70s.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It started in Washington.
Maybe that's what I discovered. Yeah.
But I'd say it definitely took off probably here in Missoula about 10 years ago. Okay. And different places like Arizona, it's been going off since like the early 2000s. But it's a really accessible sport. It's really easy to pick up. You don't have to jump if you don't want to, and that's always nice on the knees. And the scorekeeping is usually the only thing that trips people up when they get out there. So it's a really great sport for everyone.
Well, now, when people are inexperienced, like with keeping score, is there somebody there? Obviously, there's a referee, whatever. Can they help them with the scoring, or is that up to the players?
Yeah, so this is self-officiated.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a sanctioned U.S. tournament,
gotcha.
It's pretty standard pickleball to call your own shots, and it's
sure.
common, and they do wear a wristband so you can remember who was the first server.
Okay.
That's one thing that we use to help people out, but it is kind of the responsibility of the athlete to be familiar with the rules to compete in the senior games, but your skill level doesn't need to be anything specific. There's different self-rating systems for pickleball in particular.
Okay, and so how about some stories about past participants and events. This has obviously been going on for many years. So tell us, if you will, some fun stories that you could share with our listeners today.
Yeah, for sure. So it's been going on, I believe, in Montana since around the 80s. And it's just slowly grown and grown and grown. And it's incredible. I mean, you have people that, of course, don't look their age, and they're doing incredible feats. And then you have people who are in their 90s,
right,
and they are out there competing and doing everything. We have a couple, Sam and Ruth Neff, and they are both over 90, and they compete
wow.
in track and field. And not only do they compete in track and field, they do every single track and field event.
Seriously?
On the jumps and sprints side, yes.
Wow.
And it's incredible, and they've been doing it it for years and years. And I mean, I'm talking triple jump, the broad jump, long jump. They're doing all these high impact events, and it's so awesome to see. And then we have someone contacted me last year, and it was a father and son, and they've my son never got to do track because I made him play baseball, so I'm gonna tell him that we're gonna sign up for this, and we're gonna throw shot put and discus. And I was a former track athlete, so I was like, okay, I need you to be careful. Watch a few YouTube videos.
Right.
But absolutely, you don't need to have the experience. And especially with track, it's kind of sometimes difficult. There's different weight implements for age groups, and some people don't have access to them, and they're really great here in Montana. They just bring everything they have. Everyone who's like a throwing coach or anything like that, right, they bring all the different weight implements so anyone can compete.
Well, it's great. It just sounds like a really fun time for everybody. And now, are there award ceremonies and medals and all that, just like you would ordinary in the Olympics, right?
Yeah, not quite the setup. Yeah, so everybody in their age group, which it's a five-year age group, so we go like 50 to 54, 55 to 59. We have gold, silver, and bronze. And those are the folks who qualify for the national games every other year as well. And at each site that we have, we pass them out, do the announcement, and say their marks out loud. And it's a great time for everyone.
Well, let me ask you, for people who are over 50 who are listening to this and think, oh, how come we haven't done that? So how do people get involved? Do you have to qualify, or you obviously have to sign up somewhere? Mm-hmm. And is there a cost involved?
Yeah, so you don't have to qualify for the state games. You just have to qualify for national games. So anyone here can sign up. Montana is a little special, and we invite people from other states as well because of the population of our state. So anyone can come in from all over, and we do get people from all over. And you just have to register online. It's on www.montanaseniorolympics.com. And there's a registration fee of $40 and then $5 for each event that you want to participate in. So you can compete in multiple events. If you are over 80, however, that registration fee is waived.
Awesome.
And you just have to pay that $5 per event.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so as you look at this, how do you prepare for this? Obviously, are you expecting a lot of people, right? Any idea just how many from years past?
Yeah, so they generally range from about 250 to 300 athletes. And then as a whole, they compete in about 400 events, if you kind of look at it that way. So many people compete in tons of different events. So we expect a big number. We're always hoping for more. Pickleball draws well over 100 each year. And that's awesome and huge and one of the biggest parts of the Senior Olympics here.
Well, I will tell you that pickleball has exploded over the last, 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And there are professional pickleball players. And, you know, I mean, it's all over the place. And so it's really, really great that we're doing this. Now, we're going to continue with our interview with Paige and Ashley. And by the way, we'd love to have some phone calls from you folks if you have a question or a comment about what's going on with Missoula Parks and Rec. That's why they're here, to answer your questions. So please give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We appreciate you listening on this Friday, August 14th edition of Talk Back, right here statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
You've just had an accident.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back, and it is City Talk today. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open, by the way. If you have a question for Paige Trendell, who's Recreation Facility Supervisor and the Montana Senior Olympics Games Director, and Ashley Brittner-Wells, who's Community Experience Specialist with the Parks Department here in Missoula. So lots going on with the Senior Olympics, and so where do you want to go from here? Obviously, we talked about some of the Senior Olympic events. What else is coming up?
I just want to say I don't think I've mentioned the date.
Yes,
that is September 17th through 19th. This September coming up, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and there's stuff going on all day. So whenever day you can make it, it's great. I'd like to talk about the volunteering opportunities
Please
we have.
Do.
Yeah. So every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we need help. We need volunteers. That's how we're able to put this event on. Can't do it without the volunteers. And you can also find volunteer information on www.montanaseniorolympics.com. Volunteers come. They can choose what event they're interested in. If that event needs volunteers, we always need a bunch for track and field and for swimming. We do have plenty for pickleball, so thank you. 406 Pickleball has provided us our volunteers for
there
that
you
event,
go. I
so
like
that's
it,
super yeah. exciting. But yeah, we're almost desperate for volunteers because it does take a lot to put this on, and because it's a year where you can qualify for nationals, we need a lot of backup timers in case any of our systems fail, and we can still ensure accurate times for those folks.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line. It's Ed. Ed, good morning. You're on with our guests, Paige and Ashley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, about pickleball. Our neighbor in Washington, Joel Pritchard, was one of three dads who invented the game to keep their kids busy. And what I find really nice is that it's kind of been taken over by the seniors now. I don't know if you could say that, but they've given the seniors a lot of fun. Okay, so anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Any response? Go ahead, ladies.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not really fair to say the seniors have taken over. specifically over at Fort Missoula Regional Park, we have a lot of adults that play in the morning, that 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. time. It's always super fun to see the courts super, super busy. Mm-hmm. But the high schools have been teaching it in the PE classes. Like over from Big Sky, they come over and play during the PE classes. And so around 8 o'clock, you see a bunch of cars driving way too fast to the parking lot. And they pull in and they play pickleball until the sun goes down. And so it's also really cool to see, because you do get that mix of the older population playing with those teenagers, and it's really fun, good time.
Well, I would imagine that is a great way to get people together, right?
Oh yeah, and kids out of trouble, which is like a great reason why he probably invented it, and it still does that to the day. And then it gets people out of the house always. I mean, it's not a great morning, and it's just as full over there at the courts.
So when it comes to a game like pickleball, what kind of things do you have to do to get ready to, obviously stretching and all that kind of stuff? There's always preparation involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a lot of opportunities in Missoula to learn it from just the base up. A lifelong learning center has some for if you've just never picked up a paddle in any sport, mm-hmm. that's where you want to start for sure.
Right.
Parks and Rec offers some introduction leagues in the summer that I teach. And then we have just recreational leagues and competitive leagues. And it's really about getting out there and getting active. I would never recommend just jumping out there and hitting the ball. That's how you definitely hurt yourself. And the wiffle ball moves not like a tennis ball, so that's something to be aware of. It doesn't bounce up into your paddle. You got to go get it.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely a lot of bending and stretching. A lot of side shuffles is how I like to get people warmed up on the court.
Sure.
And doing a lot of banded exercises for those shoulders, I think, all of your life is a great plan.
So when and where? Again, so people need to sign up. So where do they go? What do they do?
All right, so they go to www.montanaseniorolympics.com, and that's how you can register for all the sports. There is a separate link that'll take you to pickleball brackets is where you're going to register for pickleball. But it is on that website, and it'll take place on September 17th through 19th. And the deadline to register is going to be August 31st.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got about 2 weeks.
Yes, pickleball will stay open until just about 2 days before, but everything else will close at the end of August.
Fantastic. All right. And there's a lot more that you guys want to talk about, because we also want to talk about the River Access Sites Celebration, which is coming up here pretty quick. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So this afternoon, weather dependent. I mean, it will be out there no matter what. So, but the river is going to show up there no matter what, even if it's raining.
Yeah.
But we, you know, have installed along with some partners access sites to the Clark Fork River that make it easy to get down to and make it easy to get off the river if you're floating downtown. So there's a variety of new sites. There's the one at Karis Terrace, which is the main one. But then on the south side of the river, there's a few. The Madison Bridge, Tool Park, Bear Tracks Bridge, where it's easier and safer to get out. It protects the river. It's responsible stewardship of the river. And so those have been out there for about a year. And this afternoon from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., we will be handing out free ice cream and talking a little bit about the history of the project and how it came to be, because we want to celebrate all of the folks that have used those access sites responsibly and just thank them with a little ice cream treat. So the Missoula Downtown Foundation has provided ice cream, and we're just going to hang out and talk about the river.
Sounds good. And we're going to hang out and talk more about what's going on with Parks and Rec when we come back. This is City Talk, by the way. And Paige Trendell and Ashley Brittner-Wells are here in the studio. Love to have you join us. 406-721-1290 is our number. We're coming right back after this timeout as we're statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather. Showers and a possible thunderstorm before 2 p.m. today, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Showers likely and possible thunderstorms could continue into the evening. Patchy smoke at times as well, with highs ranging 70 to 75. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in those thunderstorms. A 30% chance of showers overnight, lows in the 40s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, mostly sunny Sunday with highs back in the 80s.
Listen, retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's a rainy Friday morning, but we got things going on here on Talkback, ladies and gentlemen. We have our friends from Missoula Parks and Rec. Ashley Brittner-Wells is the Community Experience Specialist, and Paige Trendell is the Recreation Facilities Supervisor. I can't read my own writing. And Montana Senior Olympics Games Director. So you've got a lot coming up. I realize we're coming out of the end of summer, but a lot going on as we transition into fall.
Yeah, one of the things that we have is just this afternoon, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., we are celebrating river access in downtown Missoula with a little celebration at the Boone and Crockett Club parking lot from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. We'll be handing out free ice cream cups while supplies last from the Missoula Downtown Foundation. And then at 2 p.m., we'll be taking a tour along the river. Walk, roll, bike, however you get there. Tour of the river access sites on the south side of the river. And really, it's just a project it's a celebration to recognize all of the efforts that it took to get to this point, and then just thank the community for using the sites. These sites are meant to help folks sustainably and safely get in and out of the river and access it from, you know, the trail system that exists already. And so, you know, as opposed to if you're floating down the river and you're wanting to get out downtown and just trying to find, you know, a part of the bank that you feel like you can safely scale. These are places where there are steps, there are ways out, there are, you know, it's an established site that will help you safely get out, but then also help sustainably, you know, take care of the river. So it's really cool. They look really nice. I was down there the other day trying to make a video for social media, and it was very difficult because they are very popular. So I was like, I don't want anyone in the background. Someone's walking by, someone's dog, you know, and that's great. It was a good problem to have, honestly.
Yes. Quiet on the set.
Right. I don't have a trailer or lighting or anyone to help with any of that. So it was fun to just see everyone out using them in ways that make the most sense and are fun for them.
Well, on the user end, yes, but there are partnerships, right, that are being put together that are already extant to try to help the river and,
yep.
and continue to help folks with access, things like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. One of the major partnerships that came out of this effort was the Missoula River Ambassadors Program. It is a collaboration between the Clarkfoot Coalition, City of Missoula, Missoula County, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the Missoula Conservation District, and the ASUM Transport. And the River Ambassadors utilize education rather than enforcement. So they go out and they hang out down by the trail, by the river, and just educate and communicate with folks about practical information to encourage responsible and safe recreation on the river. And then also help collect data that will help inform future collaborative efforts. One of the things that they and we have done over the years since 2015 was collect data about river use and just using volunteers and other organizations to kind of go out and see, you know, how are people using the river? What would make it easier? What do we need to sort of create this access? And so this project was really informed by that data and by a lot of volunteer efforts. And then this afternoon, you know, we're holding our event at the Boone and Crockett Club parking lot because it's right there, but they also helped tremendously with the River Access Sites project because they provided access through their easement. And so we have to find collaborative partnerships all the time with parks and recreation. And this is just one example of, you know, looking around, and the river is one of our most valuable assets.
Absolutely.
It is a free to very, very low cost way to recreate in Missoula. Anybody can go down as long as you're, you know, doing it safely and you have access. We're trying to provide access to everyone because it's a way for anybody to get out and enjoy nature. And so we're just very appreciative and thankful for those partnerships. And that's part of the celebration this afternoon as well, is to just elevate, you know, we work together to make things happen for our community, but we cannot, you know, we can't do it alone. And so thanking those partners and then just kind of letting folks know about how the project came to be. So it's an ice cream social with a little bit of fun education.
All right. It's going to be a lot of fun as well, and we encourage everybody to attend. And when we come back, we have more to come. We have another 20 minutes to visit with you guys.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. We've got to do the crime report. Yes, yeah. Indeed. All right, so we're going to come right back, and we'd love to hear from you folks. The phone lines are open at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk Back continues here statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout.
In a world of
no matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
My name is Emma. After a car accident left me paralyzed, Canine Companions teamed me up with my service dog, Marcia. For 50 years, Canine Companions has been teaming dogs together with those who need them the most. Visit canine.org to change lives.
All right, we are back on Talk Back. It's City Talk, and we're thrilled to have with us Paige Trendell and Ashley Brittner Wells. And one of the things that with all the organization that you're doing, there are people that you're looking for people to help form partnerships and to try to help these things occur, right?
Yeah, I would say we're always, I mean, a lot of what we do at Parks is a partnership or are about partnerships. And so one of that's actually one of the major themes of our new Parks, Recreation, Open Space and Trails Master Plan is just cultivating partnerships and create, you know, continuing the ones that we have, but then creating new ones for opportunities because we don't have endless resources and either do the organizations that we work with. And so it's important for us to work together, and especially in a community like Missoula with so many amazing organizations and different folks that, you know, really have the same goals. And so we can work together closely to make things happen. We work a lot with Missoula Aging Services for a lot of different programs for older adults, and then obviously like Missoula County Public Schools for after school programs and things like that. And so we try to see the need see what the community wants and values, and then make it happen.
Tell us more about the Fall Recreation Guide.
Yeah, the Fall Recreation Guide was released a couple of weeks ago. It covers all of the different all ages programs that we have. You know, when you think of Parks and Recreation, I think a lot of folks think of, you know, kids activities, children activities, young adults, things like that, which is true. We have all of that. But we have an adult program that is really robust. Anything from, you know, Zootown Derailleurs Adult Bike Clinic. You can hang out and learn more about pickleball and get interested in that. And we also, you know, for folks that might be a little bit more low stakes, those, you know, mountain biking is incredible, and a lot of people are very athletic. But then we also have things like coffee walks where we go on nature walks, little bit lower stakes and hang out and chat with each other and then go have coffee afterwards. And I actually was at a neighborhood council meeting on Wednesday, and one of the neighbors in Rose Park was talking about how much he values those. And it's just become like a really great community of folks that, even if they're not on the walk, like I think one of them got canceled for smoke and they were like, well, we're still going to go have coffee together, right? Like, it's very cool to like build community and get to know people. Like Paige was saying, with Montana Senior Olympics, you can meet new people and form friendships and just get out there and meet new people. So it's super fun.
Tell us a little bit more about the Senior Olympics, if you wouldn't mind. When and where and how do people sign up, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it'll be September 17th, 18th, and 19th here in Missoula. You can register online to compete if you're over 50 at www.montanaseniorolympics.com. And if you're not sure if you want to compete, you can also volunteer at www.montanaseniorolympics.com.
And again, we really want to emphasize the fact that you folks, not desperately, but you need volunteers for all of these events. I mean, people need to keep score. They need to, you know, watch the routes, make sure people aren't falling down, things like that, right?
Yes, we need volunteers for everything, whether it's a check-in table or if you have a little bit of in-depth knowledge on a sport, we'd love to have you as well.
So when and where again?
It'll be here in Missoula, Montana on September 17th, 18th, and 19th, and you can register at www.montanaseniorolympics.com.
And what's the usual turnout for these events? Obviously, several hundred, I would imagine.
Yeah, so pickleball gets well over 100 for the tournament, and then as a whole, the event gets about 250 to 300 participants each year.
And I would imagine doing this job with Parks and Rec, there's something new and exciting and different every day, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, for, you know, doing the River Access Celebration this afternoon, last year I helped with Senior Olympics, and I did work the pickleball. I'm not sure what the, is it commission? What do you do? Who are you?
You're a volunteer scorekeeper.
Scorekeeper, referee,
And the folks are super nice. Breaking up fights.
Yeah, definitely.
It was very fun. You get out there and you get to hang out and talk to folks. Let's see. I was at a neighborhood meeting on Wednesday, and then we do a lot of other stuff. We're planning a block party for October. It's the Parks Palooza block party on October 10th. We have some anniversaries for our Zootown Derailers, Mobash Skate Park, and Currents Aquatic Center to celebrate this year. And then every year we do Fall Family Fest. And so this year we're just going to do a big block party on October 10th all day long to celebrate all of those wonderful community things that we have to offer.
Summer is just flashing by. I mean, it's amazing. Here we are coming up on, well, the middle of August already. And so you've had a rich summer so far, and there's still a couple of weeks to go yet, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots to do. Very busy time. But it's fun, too. Like, we like to stay busy and get out and, do good things for the community.
Well, I want to say thank you to Ashley Bertner-Wells and Paige Trendell for being with us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. We'd love to have you back.
We'll be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we are, where are we? Nick, we want to take a quick break?
Well, we can. Yeah, we got a minute and a half before we got to take the break. So if there's a when, where of Montana Senior Olympics real quick, if we want to just go over that real quick.
Sure.
All right. It'll be here in Missoula, Montana, the 17th, 18th, and 19th of September. And you can register for a volunteer or to compete at www.montanaseniorolympics.com.
What kind of participation are you expecting, as far as past years go?
This year we'll probably have close to 300, and we're just trying to improve each year.
All right.
And you need volunteers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Plenty of volunteers for all events, track, swimming, to check in, to get everything ready for the event, set up, tear down, whatever you think you can help with, we'll take you.
How do people get involved if they want to volunteer?
You can register on that website as well, www.montanaseniorolympics.com, and click on the volunteer information.
Fantastic. Well, you guys have made this a delight. Thank you. Thanks for coming in and sharing all this. We appreciate it. And any final words just to encourage folks to get out there and get active?
If you're around downtown Missoula this afternoon from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., stop by the Boone and Crockett Club parking lot for a free ice cream and to hear about the Clark Fork River access sites that we will be talking about. You can take a tour with us at 2 p.m. to hear about the background, and we'll be there rain or shine. So, come have some ice cream and kick off the weekend.
Thank you to Paige. Thank you to Ashley. Thank you both for being here. We appreciate it. And
thank you.
Get out and enjoy the rain.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks,
right.
Y'all.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have the crime report and with the Missoula County Attorney's Office. And in the 9 o'clock hour, it'll be open phones, folks.
Nope. Susie Hedlund.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Susie Hedlund is our superintendent of public instruction. She's going to be with us from 9 to 10. Thank you, Nick. We'll be right back.
If your business.
We are back on the Talk Back, and as we do every Friday morning, we like to check in with the Missoula County Attorney's Office and get the crime report. Chief Deputy County Attorney Mac Bloom joining us on the phone. Mac, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. Happy Friday to you, and happy Friday to the listeners.
What's going on with the crime report, sir?
Well, Peter, we ended up charging 16 felonies this week. We charged 6 violent persons crimes. We charged 1 endangerment crime, 3 property crimes, 4 drug crimes, and then 2 administrative crimes. Of those 6 violent crimes that we charged, 3 of them were family violence, strangulation. One was a non-family violence robbery type case, and then 2 of them were sexual assault cases for a total of 6. So, it was kind of an average week this week. I guess the big news in our office right now is closing arguments are today on the Ron Duggan homicide trial, and then the jury's going to begin their deliberations. I think they're going to start at 9, and closings will probably go until 11 or 11:30, and then the case will be given to the jury.
Mac, how long has that trial been going on for?
Started last Wednesday, so I guess this is day 8 now.
Is that pretty typical? Because for a homicide case, in terms of how many days it's taken?
Yeah, I would say so. They're all different in terms of the number of witnesses you need, depending on how complex the situation was. But I would say a typical homicide lasts anywhere between 7 and 14 days. Which is, that's a long time to be in trial. It's a long time for the jurors to be away from their jobs. But, you know, we sincerely appreciate them coming in and listening attentively to the evidence that's presented. I mean, we could not do this without community members coming in and giving their time, you know, to serve as jurors. So we really appreciate that. But, yeah, usually they take at least one, sometimes 2 weeks.
What's expected of a juror when it comes to a high kind of profile trial like that?
The number one thing is, I know this is difficult, but they're just not supposed to do any research about the case. They're not supposed to talk to anybody about the case. So I know it's really hard, you know, that they've got this really interesting, difficult thing that they're working on, and yet they can't go home and talk to their family and friends about it. They can't get online and research. So it's kind of like they have to sequester themselves off from the rest of the world while this trial's going on. I know that's really challenging, but it's critical so that they're not being influenced by someone else's opinion or some kind of, you know, outside news article that they're reading about the case.
When it comes to deliberation for trials like that, it's 12-member jury, right? Do all 12 have to have a guilty plea for it to be guilty? How does that work?
Correct. Yep. So in a criminal case, it has to be unanimous in order to convict or acquit. If it's split, you know, it could be 11-1 or it could be 6-6. But if it's split, that's called a hung jury. And then the court will declare a mistrial. And then the state has the right to request another trial and do it again. So that does happen. It's obviously difficult to get 12 people to agree on anything. So if a jury does hang and they're not able to reach a unanimous verdict, then a lot of times we'll have to try it again. And then if you get another hung verdict, then that's probably an indication that it's too close on the line and nobody's, you're not going to find a jury that's going to be able to decide it unanimously.
Have you noticed, does that happen often or not often? And when it just kind of anecdotally from what you've seen here in Missoula?
You know, I would say it's all over the map, Nick. I can't give like a kind of a pattern. We do have hung juries from time to time. There's no doubt about it. But we also are often able to either get a guilty or a not guilty verdict. So it's kind of just really dependent on the facts and the personalities of the individual jurors. At the start of every trial, we do that voir dire process where both the prosecution and the defense attorney talk to the jury pool for a homicide, the voir dire can go for 8 hours. And that's the attorneys quizzing the jurors about their life experiences and what they know about the case to make sure we get a jury that can be fair. But it, you know, the personalities of the individual jurors, their backgrounds, all of those factors can have a huge impact on how they receive evidence and make decisions. So you just never know.
So what it comes to when you bring in people to form a jury pool, what are the deciding factors as to whether this person can serve or cannot?
Yeah, so there's a couple of constitutional and statutory requirements. They have to be over 18. They can't have been convicted of certain offenses for which they have not been pardoned. Basically, those are, and they have to live in the county. Those are like the three big ones that they have to, boxes that they have to check before they can serve as jurors. The jury pool is drawn at random from the people who are registered to vote in Missoula County. The residents is drawn at random, and then the size of the jury pool depends on the type of the case that we're doing. If it's a homicide, we'll get sometimes 150 jurors in there when we start our voir dire, because the cases are intense, and we'll have to talk to the jury pool about some of the facts in this voir dire. And if it's a tough case like a homicide or a sexual crime, there's a lot of people that don't want to serve on that jury, and they can't. Right. They'll put their hands up and say, I just can't handle a case like this. I'm not a good juror for this. And so that whittles down our pool. If it's an easy case, you know, like it's a DUI or a theft of some kind of, you know, small piece of property, a lot of times we'll only have 30 or 40 people come in for those jury pools. And then, like I said, the parties have time to question them to figure out who's going to be the best people.
Mac, thank you so much for sharing the information. It's always interesting to talk with you. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, sir.
Absolutely. You guys too. And happy Friday to the listeners.
All right. In the next hour, Susie Hedlund, our superintendent of public instruction, is going to be joining us on the phone. We'll be right back.
Music. and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning once again, everyone. Hour number two of TalkBack is underway right now on this Friday. Again, I am Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls. And we are always privileged to have with us. I always feel a little bit smarter after I had a chance to have a chance to talk with Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. Susie, welcome. Welcome once again. Good to have you.
Good to be with you this morning. Thank you, Peter.
You bet. So here we are on the cusp of another school year, and I know summer has done its thing again and raced by, and here we are. So as we're going in, we've got the public schools will be opening, and I'm sure there are always challenges at the beginning of every school year.
Yes, there are always, things coming up and things for schools to navigate. However, it's always an exciting time of year. And we had a really great summer with a lot of professional development opportunities with teachers around the state. The Summer Institute was a big hit. We had over 700 educators in Bozeman for that this June. So I think there's a lot of excitement also.
Well, good to know. And so as you are preparing, obviously over the summer, you're not being idle, and neither are the teachers. There are always conferences and meetings that they're expected to attend in order to be able to be ready for the opening of the school year, right?
Correct. People are actually surprised. The summer is busier for us often here at OPI because we're doing just that. We're making sure we are providing as much professional development as possible during the summer, because that, does allows teachers to receive that without taking time away from the classroom. And we are just getting all the systems in place to implement everything new for the new school year. So it has been a busy time for us, but it's very productive, and we're excited to support schools as they open up and welcome students back.
I will tell you, my hand is up when it comes to math. I'm not exactly a huge math person, but I understand that the state of Montana, the Office of Public Instruction, is helping out in that respect and really enhancing math.
Yes, this has been a major goal of mine. I am the same way, Peter. I spent my first year of college in the Math Help Center, and it's really important that we give our educators resources to support students. Math can be a challenging concept and something that can end up being one of the major concerns we see with students that drop out in Montana. So this is a critical component. Also, just we've been working for years to reduce our remedial math rates at the colleges. And so a lot of us have been sharing data and doing research projects to see what we can do to support our students in mathematics. And we have an excellent new roadmap for students' progress and a resource for teachers that helps them map skills and build up any gaps that they have. And this is a project that we've been working on for quite a while, and we have now published, and we're excited to support educators in using that this school year to close any gaps that students may have throughout their education.
All right. Well, we are coming up against our first commercial break here. I want to let folks know that Susie's going to be with us all the way until 10 o'clock this morning. And if you have a question or a comment for Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, we encourage you to give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we're looking forward to getting your questions and getting the answers as we, the kids are reluctantly, of course, getting ready to wave goodbye to summer and look at another good school year ahead. So we will talk with Susie when we come back in just a moment. Our numbers again are 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we welcome Susie right here to TalkBack statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Cool. cold showers.
Dennis Bragg with your weekend weather. Showers and a possible thunderstorm before 2 p.m. today. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Showers likely and possible thunderstorms could continue into the evening. Patchy smoke at times as well, with highs ranging 70 to 75. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in those thunderstorms. A 30% chance of showers overnight, lows in the 40s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, mostly sunny Sunday with highs back in the 80s.
Hey, it's the Friday edition of Talk Back. Thanks for joining us here on the KGVO. And our guest on the phone right now is Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. And Susie, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the new public school report card platform before we start taking calls.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited to announce our public report cards are now live with a new look and a more manageable data system. We, you know, I just believe that Montana deserves clear, accessible information about the performance of our schools and the spending occurring in their public schools. So this platform gives families and communities easier ways to understand school data, celebrate success, and stay informed about the progress of our schools across Montana. And this is something I've worked on for a decade now. I was involved in the first round of the Every Student Succeeds Act report cards. The federal government required that all states publish report cards for each school on certain indicators. And then you also have the flexibility to add some in that you might think are important. And we just really wanted to make sure that it was transparent and easily accessible. Our old data system just didn't allow for this, so we have a new system now, and we have different tabs, so you're going to be able to see the state indicators that end up lining up to accreditation across the state of Montana, and then the federal indicators on the Every Student Succeeds Act report card, and now they can be downloaded into Excel spreadsheets, and so researchers, policymakers, and others can get into the weeds, but there's also really great graphs and displays that show all different kinds of indicators, ranging from assessment scores and reading and math to attendance and just really important components that we need to be tracking and continually improving across Montana.
Well, the whole idea of the dog ate my homework, that doesn't work anymore, does it?
Not so much.
All right. Well, we have folks waiting to visit with you. Skip is on the line. Skip, you're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Peter, and I hope everybody has a fine weekend. By the way, there's flash flood warnings that just came over all the media for Ravalli County, especially in Scalco area, and the what they call the Daily Fire, the old burn. There's a whole lot of garbage coming down the streams. Anyway, Susie, nice to hear you again. I wanted to ask you if you could give us some cliff notes on something that I think is going to be upcoming, which is the results of the required 10-year study of finance in education all over the state of Montana. Representative, I hope soon to be put another term in as a senator in our legislature, David Beatty, is in charge of that. I watch these on TV, and I see lots of detail happening that reveal lots of things, even about the all the finance things involved with OPI and all things education and money related all over the state. Could you tell us how important that is? That's a required 10-year study that we have to make in Montana. Would you tell us some things that you think will be either revealing or things that we need to keep our eye on and be aware of in case it affects our tax bills, for instance? Any other things that you think are coming out pretty soon? And thanks for working hard. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, sir. Go ahead, Susie, please.
Thank you so much. Great question. We did just complete our final meeting for the School Funding Interim Commission yesterday, and it is a really critical subject in Montana. We have one of the most complicated school funding formulas in the nation, which doesn't allow for transparency to taxpayers and creates a real problem in our school districts currently because it is so complicated that
It takes 4 years for a school business official to get up to speed and to be, you know, able to manage that system is the estimation from MASBO, the School Business Officials Organization. So it's a real challenge in the state right now. And it's also a real challenge for those of us, you know, when I was in the field and you're trying to get school board members up to speed and things like that, as well as just making sure that we can explain to our taxpayers where their money is going and how it's being spent. So I have been advocating for a more transparent school funding formula. It needs to be simplified, and that work is critical. We didn't quite get there, so I look forward to continuing to work with our legislators and others on proposals that'll help us get further along the road of streamlining those processes. I've really been advocating for a student-based funding formula with multipliers for the important components that schools need to provide additional supports for at-risk students, special education students, and English learners, other components like that. So that is best practice across the nation. I've gone to school funding conferences this summer with my colleagues, and there's a lot of great models out there. We don't have to start from scratch, but Montana is very unique, and we need to recognize that. So I look forward to continuing that work and continuing to advocate for more transparency and a more simplified formula that we can put in place in Montana.
Yeah, we got about a minute and a half before a break. How important are these the getting together and the meeting of the minds of the teachers and the administrators?
It's critical. I just know that we keep putting Band-Aids on a system that we've had for ages in Montana, and it really needs a complete overhaul so that we can get this right. So I did have some no votes, and it's not because I don't think that, you know, funding our schools is very important. I just think we need to get the right mechanisms in place to do so. And we didn't quite get there during the School Funding Commission. It is a huge lift, but we do need to focus on the funding formula and make sure that we get the funding right in the way that we do it. You know, OPI has a huge part to play in this. Our agency does all the calculations and distribution of funds to schools across the state.
Right.
And we need to make sure that we can implement it successfully and work with our schools on this. So it's really important to me and to our office, and we'll keep close eyes on it and keep working on it. But we are also hoping for a shift from local taxpayers to make sure that we are funding education,
you bet,
without putting it on permissive levies at the local taxpayer level.
We're going to come right back with more with Susie Hedlund right after this quick timeout.
State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Governor Greg Gianforte, who has often criticized the Forest Service on some fires in the past, says he's very impressed with what crews have been able to do on the West Pioneer fires, the Sand Creek fire and the Bobcat Lakes fire, especially saving Elkhorn Hot Springs and Maverick Mountain ski area.
And those are historic places. I've personally chased mice out of the bathroom at Elkhorn Hot Springs at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's a place we all love, and nobody wants to see us lose it. But these conditions are very, very difficult.
Gianforte says the cooperation between the Forest Service and Montana DNRC has been critical in the fires, with a state and local crews moving to assist with structure protection and continuing to get on fires anywhere in the state as quickly as possible.
We've had, you know, about 2,000 fires in Montana so far this year. It's worse right now, but we're getting, you know, around 200 new fires a week. And most of them we keep under 10 acres. But sometimes they start up high in thick timber, and even with the aviation assets we have, we can't get after them.
The governor appeals to everyone to be extremely cautious and fire-wise in the coming weeks, with a fire season forecast to last well into September. Montana's leading bank is jumping in to help people whose lives have been disrupted by the two big fires in the West Pioneers. Tracy Taylor has the details.
Stockman Bank is offering a $20,000 challenge gift to support people affected by the Sand Creek and Bobcat Lake fires. The bank will match donations to the United Way of Beaverhead County Fire Relief Fund, dollar for dollar, up to $20,000. The money will provide assistance to residents facing fire-related damage and recovery costs. Donations can be made by calling the United Way of Beaverhead County at 406-683-4269 or visiting any Stockman Bank location in Montana. Tracy Taylor, Montana State News Network.
Those two fires combined have burned about over 40,000 acres. This is the Montana State News Network.
Hi, I'm Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Sager, encouraging you to stay safe on the road this summer. More fatalities occur on the road from Memorial Day to Labor Day. To ensure Montanans and our visitors get to and from their destination safely this summer, Montana Highway Patrol troopers will be increasing patrols. You can help. Never get behind the wheel intoxicated, follow the speed limit, and always buckle up. Together we can save lives. Sponsored by the Montana Department of Justice.
Montana's future is on the line. Will you stand up and fight? Montana was built on hard work, strong families, and economic freedom. Americans for Prosperity is building a grassroots movement, and we need you to help lead the charge. Our wages are among the lowest in the nation. Our children rank near the bottom in math and reading. Home ownership is becoming an out-of-reach dream for many, while government interference and radical regulations strangle our industries. Join us today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Paid for by Americans for Prosperity.
Hey, we are back on Talkback. Glad to have you along this morning on this Friday. And of course, Susie Hedlund is our special guest. She's the superintendent of Montana's public, superintendent of public instruction for the state of Montana. And I know one of the things that we talked about during the break a little bit that you might want let folks know about is a school safety summit that you folks are putting together. What can you share about that?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. We had we participated and helped support the school safety summit in Butte just last week, and it was a great convening of educators across the state as well as policymakers to talk about best practices in school safety and provide professional development. I got to speak on a panel, and so that was a great experience. And I just want to highlight, even from our last call this morning, that, you know, thinking about floods being mentioned in Ravalli County and other components like that, it's a really good time of year to remind schools we are here to support them in updating their emergency operations plans. And it's really important in Montana that they work with their local safety panel and you know, county advisory board on safety, because it's important to coordinate with your local sheriff's department and first responders on these plans, make sure that they have access to the building and everyone's on the same page with next steps when you're planning for any kind of local threats, such as floods in some areas, you know, railroads and train bring a different set of threats or risks. So They really need to be individualized to each county. And we have great resources and tools free to all schools in that area in Montana, so we're happy to help make sure that those plans are aligned with best practices and up to date, make sure that everyone's on the same page so that students are safe when they return to school this year.
That's great. Let's get Al on the line. Al, good morning. You're on with Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. Go ahead.
I might have two questions to ask. Are you able to give me an approximate figure, or even a wild guess would do on the question? How much money is spent on each student that attends a Helena school?
Thank you. That's a great question. So right now, we have two different levels of funding in Montana for the base for students, and we currently call it A and B, which is confusing to the public. So that's one of the things that we're working on. It should be a per pupil student funding. And right now we have a different amount for elementary and high school. And that was one of the topics brought up in the School Funding Interim Commission, is that it is a lower amount for elementary students and a higher rate for 7th through 12th grade. But during the commission, it was agreed to that 6th graders should be in that middle school bucket that is a little bit more highly funded. And I can get you those per pupil, per student numbers, currently called A and B, if that would be helpful. Is that what you're after?
Sure, just an approximate figure.
Yeah, let me grab those for you real quick. Another component is that right now with our funding formula, it is one of the reasons it's so complicated is because that's just the start, and then there's many other funding streams that come in, and OPI is tasked with getting information from schools to report on each of those funding streams. So that is just the base, and then we move into special education funding, Indian Education for All, and many other components that pile on top of that to create a school budget. However, it causes some red tape issues where schools don't have the flexibility to spend it in different ways that they may need because it's very prescriptive right now. So that's one of the things that I'm advocating is for more flexibility with funding. And we did get a waiver from the Department of Education to take advantage of those current flexibilities and allow districts to pool their federal funds and use them in a way that they need. So if they need to spend more money on curriculum or more money on safety or technology, they can do so now. So we have quite a few districts taking advantage of that. But our elementary students are approximately 6,500 to 6,700, and high school students are 8,200 to 8,600.
Okay, thank you very much.
Level of payment. Yes.
Thank you very much for the figures. The reason I was asking, in the last week or so, I heard on the national news, and my memory might not be correct, but I thought they said the average student, and I don't know if it's grade school or high school, in New York City was $40,000.
Wow.
So I was hoping ours would be well under 10. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you for the call. We're about a minute out from a break here. When we come back, we have Perry from Columbus, who's waiting to visit with you, Rod and Emmett and Susan. So the phone lines are pretty much getting all full up for our superintendent of public instruction, Susie Hedlund. But we do have, I think we have one line open. So if you want to get into that, just give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, we just want to say thank you to our Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, taking time out of a busy getting ready for school time to talk with our listeners and share with us what's going on in her office. And we do appreciate that. So, if you'd like to get in the queue, our number, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we are looking forward to finding out more about what's happening in the upcoming school year and how Susie and her staff are all preparing for the very big day. But of course, it's been going on all summer to all that preparation. So we're going to come right back with more of Talk Back after this quick timeout as Talk Back continues statewide on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Hey, if you're waking.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors Choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy. But if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit COPDFoundation.org today.
We're back on Talk Back. Thanks so much for joining us, and we are very appreciative of the fact that Montana's Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund, is on the phone with us today, talking about what's happening as we get ready for another exciting school year here in Montana. And I believe Perry from Columbus has been waiting the longest. Perry, you're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ms. Hedlund. I hear you talking a whole lot about report card formats and funding formulas and how this system and that system needs an overhaul. And I know most of the people in Montana are concerned about the cost of public education that imposed on them by property taxes. But I have something to a comment about something that's way more important than that, and then a question to ask you. So we'll start with the comment. You know, I've been watching, I can only speak directly to the Columbus school systems, but I've seen them move further and further towards total digitalization of the educational process for kids going all the way down to grade school. And I think there's, you know, that this is not the right way to teach a kid how to, you're not teaching kids how to think. You're just teaching them how to type and ask the computer for the answer. You know, a kid's education, their brain is wired when they're young, either poorly or very well, to cope with modern life. And it's all done when they're young through hand, eye, ear, coordination. And you only get that from a pen and paper type education. You don't get that. You don't wire a kid's head to understand complex concepts and overlapping nuance by just teaching them how to type and planting them in front of a screen. So there's all kinds of, there's expert studies, there's parents that'll tell you, and there's lay people like me who understand that as you're digitalizing the education of our children, as the level of that goes up, the level of their test scores and everything else, their basic nuanced comprehension goes down. They're dumbing them down with this for whatever reason. And to add insult to injury, it's very expensive to keep all of that equipment current, all of your Chromebooks and your digital lesson plans and all that stuff. You're cheating the children, and that's my statement about what's going on. You can find this everywhere.
Perry, if you could please get to your question, just because your phone's cutting out.
Let me throw the question.
Yeah.
Will you publicly acknowledge that the school systems are moving too far to digitalization and that we need to come back towards real education, teaching a kid how to think and wire their brain to be successful in this modern world?
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties there, Susie. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, no worries. Actually, there's a lot we agree on there. We know that it's really important for students to have project-based learning where they're working with their peers, hands-on projects, utilizing their brain, as you said, and problem solving. We definitely support that and provide professional development and lesson plans and other resources to educators for that, for the young ones, and then work-based learning as they get older. So there is a lot of work and energy being done in that area as well. And, you know, we also can't bury our head in the sand and not pay attention to the fact that a lot of this technology is here. So it's really about finding a proper balance and helping schools to navigate that. So we've been working with the Digital Academy. We just released new guidance for schools to make sure that they're being aware of how and, you know, teaching students how to ethically, responsibly use these tools as a support to help them learn rather than replacing it. We're taking a look at screen time. We know from our recent YRBS results that students are spending a lot of time on screens and that social media can negatively impact their mental health. So these are all important conversations that we're having. We're definitely not advocating for students to be spending all their time on screens or too much time, and trying to help schools navigate finding that balance of making sure students know how to properly use these tools ethically and responsibly, but that they're not taking over. So it is a critical component that we talk about on a regular basis. Everything is costly, from textbooks to computers, and we try to help schools navigate this. But of those curriculum decisions, and a lot of that comes down to that local control and the school board making those decisions. So I would talk to your local school board member.
You bet. And we're just seconds away from a hard break here. We're going to come right back. Our guest on the phone, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. We'll continue with that great conversation with more calls coming up right after this quick timeout on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Talkbackers.
No matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
The more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
Hey, thank you for taking time to join us for Talkback today. We sure appreciate it. And we're having a great conversation with Montana Superintendent of Public Instruction, Susie Hedlund. And the phone lines are jammed. Let's get Rod on first. Rod, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead.
Yes. I checked out the OPI report card site, and what I see here is in math, the state, this is all the state, students are 36% of the students are proficient, reading 44%, and science 35%. These results are kind of display what's been going on the last few years. There's kind of a trend there of this. It should be noted that attendance, 36% attend 95% of the time. That means it looks like we have a issue with attendance even. Students are... or let's see, $14,178 per student on average in the state is spent. There's also kind of a really concerning fact that 15% won't graduate. I'm kind of wondering, we talked about this No Child Left Behind, and my personal experiences, I know of three kids that were freshmen last year that have dropped out already. What's being done? I mean, we talk about it, but it looks like we're getting a lot of kids left behind.
All right. Let's let her answer that. That's a very good question. Thank you for calling. Susie, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So part of the report cards are the effort to move to Every Student Succeeds, which replaced No Child Left Behind. But in really what's important in Montana is that we are educating our students to the Montana state standards and making progress. One of my top priorities, you know, second to student wellness and well-being, is to make sure that we increase our reading and math scores, our educational outcomes for students in Montana. And we have new data that will be released here soon with this last year's summative scores. And so I think we're, you know, my early sneak peeks at that data are good, and we're going to be putting out some press releases to get into detail on those. You are right, though. We do need to work on attendance, so we have a lot of efforts in that area. On our reservations, we're working really closely with tribal councils and other folks to try to gain some energy around attendance. It's really important. We have to have students at school in order for them to learn. And, you know, there are some remote learning opportunities and different things like that. You know, learning can take place in other places, like work-based learning, and those components are important as well. But we really want to see an improvement in our attendance. And so there's a lot of energy around that. We need parents to help us on that front. And we are working on implementing our new, you know, ELA standards focused on the science of reading and really getting those students up to speed. Back to one of the earlier callers, we have cursive handwriting, for example, is something that I've always advocated for. It is really important for that student development. And so we got that into the ELA standards as well. So there's a lot of work going on, a lot of movement to improve this, and we are starting to see our students improve in these areas, but there'll always be work to be done. And, you know, we want Montana to be very successful and our students to be prepared for their next steps, whatever they may be.
Good deal. All right, let's get Emmett on the line next. Emmett, good morning. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, a couple of questions. One of the previous callers, you know, talked about the screen time a couple of calls ago, and that's what I wanted. One of the things I wanted to address, you know, we need computer literacy, but I still have all my notes from criminology and some other homework I had from high school. I think it is important, you know, that they be taught to write with pen and paper. You can't journal on a computer. I think there should be maybe 1 hour of screen time. The rest, all your homework and every report should be on pen and paper. How about that? Do you think that's a good idea? Also, because of the reading scores are pretty bad, I think on the report card I heard on the news, are we teaching phonics? Phonics is the basis to learn to read and write with English. We can't just do this see and say. We've got to teach phonics. Are the schools teaching phonics? That's very critical. Those are my two questions.
Thank you for the call, sir. Go ahead. Susie, please.
Yes. No, you're right about that. The science of reading is the best practice for teaching English language arts right now, and we are supporting school districts in implementing that. And we have many of our schools participating in the Montana Reads program. We got a very competitive major grant for the state of Montana to help schools that needed to procure new curriculum materials or just make sure that they had evidence and research-based curriculum and reading materials that aligned to the science of reading, which definitely incorporates the components of phonics. And there's many, when you look into phonics too, there's phonological awareness. There's just many different components that are critical for that foundation in reading. And as a former kindergarten teacher, it's near and dear to my heart. So I can tell you that it's definitely something that we are promoting. We're helping with the districts implement the new early learning or early literacy and numeracy programs across the state and just supporting them. And we're excited this fall. We will have examples up on the website where schools can look to see where their curriculum falls on evidence and research base, and really trying to help schools move to that if they aren't already. A lot of our schools are doing great work in these areas, and they're excited to launch that. There's a literacy summit going on, a lot of professional development going on around the state right now to make sure teachers have the latest and greatest before they go back to their classrooms. So this is something we've been working on continually, but even, you know, this week and next week, there are opportunities for educators across the state to gather new information in these areas or get up to speed if they weren't. So that's something that we continually provide and support schools in doing.
All right. We are coming up against a commercial break here, and this hour is just flying by. I want to say thank you again to Superintendent Hedlund for taking all your calls of our listeners and answering your questions. We really appreciate it. So we have more to come in the next 10 minutes or so. Susan, Jeff, and Dave are all waiting to visit with Superintendent Hedlund. And a couple phone lines open if you'd like to try to get in the queue. Give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We appreciate Superintendent Hedlund being with us right here on Talkback on the Montana Talks Radio Network, which will continue right after this quick timeout. Back on Talkback. Glad to have you along, everybody. In the last segment of this Friday, August 14th, and we're again very, very grateful that Susie Hedlund, our Superintendent of Public Instruction, could be with us all the way till the top of the hour to talk with Susan. Susan, go ahead, please. You're on. Hi, Susan. You're on with Susie Hedlund. Well, okay, let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. You're on Talkback with Susie Hedlund. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Susie. Good to be able to talk with you again. I believe the funding information you gave was at least incomplete and maybe just flat out wrong, because I think you said something around 63 to 6,500 for elementary and 83 to 86 for high school. And
that, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. No, that's from the state. That's not total spending on students. And since it's local control and a lot of the money comes from local school districts, that range can actually fluctuate wildly. I've been trying to do some quick research here, and I'm coming up with on an average of anywhere from $13,000 to $16,000 per student, and with the lowest being Deer Creek Elementary in Columbia Falls at $8,300 per student total. And the highest, and now there's some qualifications here, but the highest is Judith Gap High School at $156,000 per student. Now, to mitigate that, Judith Gap High School has four students and two teachers. So the per student ratio is great, and I can understand why the spending is higher there, because that's kind of an anomaly. When you have four students, the support structure is going to be skewed. But the point is that it varies wildly across the state, and it's much higher than that 6,000 or 8,000, depending on the demo you're looking at. And when you look at what we're getting and no increase, it's not just you, but you're the one who gets to sit in the chair and answer the hard questions now.
Hey, so Jeff, we're running out of time. You might want to speed up just a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I said, what is Montana doing to fix this?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you so much. Great question. I gave the per student base number. So like I said, our school funding formula is so complicated that there's many different components, and some districts get different funding streams than others. Some receive impact aid if they're near to a military base, for example. Some receive metal mines funding because of proximity to a mine. There's all different funding streams that come in that add on top of that. Federal funding, for example, some schools take all of that in, some don't. It varies across the state, as you said. So that is something to consider, and why I have been advocating for a more transparent and easy to understand funding formula for the state of Montana. We do need to make sure that we have adequate funding for each school and that we're funding all of the critical different elements. However, sometimes schools need more money for their facilities, and sometimes they need more money for their curriculum. And all of that should be up to local school districts to determine. And I'd like to see us get to a place where schools have the funds they need for the different components that they need to address in their local community, and they're able to make those decisions flexibly at the local level. So that's what we've been working on. Mm-hmm. It is hard to understand from what you see on the internet, because it depends on how everyone's calculating it and taking it in. And there's a lot of different components to those funding mechanisms in Montana currently.
Well, Susan, let's take the last minute here to talk a little bit, some closing thoughts from the superintendent.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I look forward to just welcoming everyone back to school. And we stand ready to support our schools across Montana in making sure they have all the tools and resources they need to move forward. We're excited about, what we have in place and to offer educators as they come back to school. Like I said, we have some great new resources in skills mapping for mathematics. We've made great movement with Level All. This is a free platform for parents and educators as well as students to get on. It has personal finance, FAFSA, application information, college and career exploration. And, for our little ones, I think that 15 minutes of reading parents do with their children each night is really one of the most important elements that helps a student to be successful. Parents are really critical in education.
Susie, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We appreciate it. Look forward to our next visit, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Peter.
And the same to you. Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Monday, sir?
We'll do open phones from 8 to 8:30, and then from 8:30 to 10, it'll be the Talk Back Book Club with Professors Mirdad Kia and Michael Mayer, and they're going to be talking about the book The End of Ideology by Daniel Bell.
All right. Well, again, thank you to everybody for calling in this morning, and a big thank you to Superintendent Susie Hedlund for sharing all that wonderful information with us. We appreciate it. Look forward to, it might be a rainy weekend, everybody, but get out there and get wet. So we will see you Monday morning bright and early at 8 o'clock for another edition of Talk Back. So till then, on behalf of Nick Christensen, I'm Peter Christian. Have yourselves a great and safe weekend.